Hear now a second reading from Jonah. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of that city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" The word of the Lord.
I'm just going to sit here in the shade, read my book, The Great Fish Tales, and watch old Nineveh. Here in the shade God gave me to keep cool, I can watch what happens to those Ninevites. Watch them get into trouble with God. They're nothing but a bunch of losers.
Welcome to the minor prophet Jonah. Perhaps one of the most familiar of all the prophets. We tell the story of Jonah being swallowed up by the big fish. We say that he was swallowed by a whale, but the biblical text only tells us it was a big fish. Biblical scholars do not know when Jonah was written. Jonah reads more like a short story than a prophecy, but is probably included in the minor prophets because it connects itself with the prophet Jonah, son of Amittai. I am not sure why Jonah is wearing an Hawaiian shirt this morning. Maybe because the bush looks like a palm tree. You might need to ask him that. But the biblical text does tell us that God provided Jonah a bush with shade to sit under as he watches over Nineveh.
I bet you want to know how I got here. It all started when God called me to preach judgment to Nineveh. I got to tell you, I really don't like the Ninevites. If anyone deserves God's judgment, it's the Ninevites, but I wanted no part of being anywhere near them. I didn't want to go to them. I didn't want to preach to them, even if it was going to be a word of judgment. So I decided to run away. I hit the road and headed to the coast. I was going to Tarshish by way of Joppa, which meant traveling by boat. When I told my friends about my plan, they said, "You're ridiculous, Jonah." "Why am I ridiculous?" "Well, Jonah, You always tell us that God is the God of the land and the seas, the heaven and the earth. So how are you going to run away from God? I didn't think much of their theological mindset, so I left. I got to Joppa, found a boat that was going to Tarshish, and set sail. What does God do? God sends a big storm. I mean a giant storm. Winds and rain. The waves crashing over the boat. Even the sailors who were used to storms, they were so scared. Not me. What did I care? So what if the ship sank and we all drowned? As long as I didn't have to go to Nineveh, it didn't matter to me. So I went down below and took a nap. Apparently, the sailors were praying to their different gods. They were throwing things overboard to try to make the ship lighter. The captain walks down, sees me sleeping, and decides that if I'm able to sleep through all of the storm, then maybe my faith in God was so strong that they ought to know about my God. So they asked me to tell them about God. So I told them, God's the God of the land and the seas. God's the God of heaven and earth. God's the God of everything. That seemed to impress them. Also seemed to scare them a bit. Someone got the great idea we'd cast lots and see which one of us had made God mad enough to throw overboard into the storm. I figured I knew how that was going to turn out, so I said, just send me over. No, no, let's draw lots. So we drew lots. You got it. I drew the lot. Me. God would just not leave me alone. Oh no, God has to find me on a boat in the middle of a storm. The sailors grilled me about what I'd done. I told them, don't worry what I've done. Just throw me overboard and your problem will be solved. Well, they didn't believe me. They try to solve it themselves. They do all sorts of things. And then they throw me overboard. The winds stop. The water calms. No more rain. So they all became believers. Yay for God. All the sailors are believers and Jonah stuck in the middle of the ocean. But was that enough? Oh no. God couldn't just thank me for what I'd done to convert all the sailors. God had to send a big fish to swallow me.
Now let's stop here for a second. Jonah gets thrown overboard, and all the sailors come to believe in God. In an odd sort of way, Jonah is being a pretty good prophet. Of course, God's not done with Jonah.
Have you ever been swallowed by a big fish? Of course not. Only me. Let me tell you, that's disgusting. Can you imagine what the fish had been eating? Yuck. 3 days. 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish. Dark and nasty. Then I decided to just give myself up. Okay, God, you win. Whatever you want. You're the one and only God. I'll be your servant. I'll do whatever you want. So God made the fish spit me out. Sounds good, doesn't it? Hurt on landing. Of course, God still says, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach judgment. So I went. I walked around all day and I preached judgment. I said, you've got 40 days to repent. 40 days or you're going to be in big trouble. You better change your ways. You know what they did? The Ninevites, who had never even cared about God, the Ninevites, who are the sorry excuse for people I've ever seen, the Ninevites decide to repent and turn to God. They put on sackcloth. Even the king, he gets up off his throne, takes his robe off, puts on a sackcloth. Imagine a crown and a sackcloth. Crazy. And the cows, all the animals, even the cows. Cows in the street kneeling in sackcloths. And then the king. The king says, who knows? Maybe God will not destroy us if we repent and ask for forgiveness. The king was right. God decided not to destroy them. How do you like that? God decides not to destroy the Ninevites. I wanted the Ninevites to be destroyed, but they were saved, all because I came and proclaimed the coming judgment day. It's going to ruin my reputation as a prophet. Well, who's going to believe me? If I tell them doom and gloom's going to come and then God's going to forgive, what's the point of being a prophet? Made me wish I were not a prophet and that I'd never heard of God. So here I sit watching Nineveh. Maybe they'll mess up again. I must be back on good side because there's a bush giving me shade on this hot day.
Jonah either succeeded beyond his wildest dreams or he failed, depending on how you look at it. On the one hand, he preached the destruction of Nineveh, and he was wrong. On the other hand, all of Nineveh repented, a prophet's dream. Maybe that's why Jonah's story keeps getting told, a reminder to Israel, a reminder to us that God calls us to repentance, a reminder of God's graciousness. But God is not done with Jonah yet.
What have I done now, God? You killed the bush that was giving me shade. Really? What did that bush ever do to you? Ah, now the sun's beating down on me. The wind is blowing. It's so hot. What did I do to deserve this? I'm sick of you, God. All this over the Ninevites, you really care that much about them? You know that's why I didn't want to go preach to them. I knew that you were a God who was gracious. I knew you were slow to anger. I knew you were a God who wanted to forgive, so I didn't want to go. And now you kill the bush that was giving me shade. Some days I'm not sure I like the way you show your graciousness, God.
There's Jonah sweating away. Still not sure what to make of God, but God shut Jonah up with one simple question. If you are worried about that silly bush, why are you surprised that I am worried about Nineveh, a city of 120,000 people? To which Jonah could only shake his head and remember the graciousness of God that not even Jonah could fathom. Amen.